this song here, y'all.
It's got a true meaning, and it's called "You Touch Me."
All right, brother.
Amen.
Why
Everything God in prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, what peace we offer, Lord. Oh, what needless pain we bear.
True.
Oh, because He could not carry everything to God.
Just a song that Carol asked me to play today. I don't know it, so I just told her that I would play it for her. It's called Only Jesus.
That's right.
I'm a transgender woman, and my dream was always to be
find another dream.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, change your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell as empty dreams. I got lost in the light. Up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember.
Hey, bye.
And Jesus.
Amen.
Eric, you got a song? Somebody else? What?
Can I sing it?
I didn't get to preach last Sunday. I have to admit, I'm still going to deliver that message, amen. I did enjoy the service last Sunday. I liked the liberty, and I liked what I felt. One thing about being saved, hallelujah, you're not numb. I like feeling things. The Bible talked about that woman had that issue of blood. Talked about she felt in her body that she'd been healed of that plague. I like feeling things. Mm-hmm. Man, I tell you what, I come to church, have church, amen. One thing I want to try to do when I do get to church is try not to get in the way, amen. And it does happen. That song there talking about no other name. But Jesus, I think that's Casting Crowns, I don't know. But if it is, I heard a little bit about Casting Crowns from my brother-in-law. He sent me one of their CDs. And I was kind of standoffish till I heard it. I have to admit, I really like it. He told me the singer, they asked him to be the singer of the group. And he said, there's only one way I'll be the singer, and that's if it don't interfere with my Sunday school class, my Sunday school teaching. And I said, amen, hallelujah. But I'm really good. I've got blessed. I've cried. Oh, my, I've cried. A tremendous ministry that they have in song, Casting Crowns. I tremendously like them. Never even heard of them. He gave me that CD for Christmas. And, boy, I plugged in. I can tell you that right now. Amen. All right, last Sunday, we were in Matthew, I think, Matthew 16, which is what I'm going to preach out of, but I think I read one verse out of Matthew 16 last week, and then I read down there some verses there, Matthew chapter 17, but we're going to stay in Matthew 16 this morning, which is the message I intended to preach last Sunday. Today is my wife's birthday. And poor thing, made it through another year being married to me. Just imagine that. And this year will be 46 years. I told her, I said, honey, he said for better or worse, the death do you part. She said, don't tell me. I've already thought about killing you. And she probably will one of these days. I don't know. But today's her birthday. And she's having somewhat of a pretty good day. She had a terrible week. I fixed the breakfast this morning. She told me to stop by down to Lear's and get her some spaghetti meatballs and a slice of that high dollar cake. The white chocolate with a raspberry, something like that. But today is the day after the 20-year anniversary of a 9/11. We commented on that quite a bit in Sunday school this morning. I just wish they'd leave us alone. I know they won't. But I would like to live peacefully at all, man. Bible said, as much as in you, live peaceably at all men. I like to do that, Sue, but some people, they just won't let me live peaceably among them. Mm-hmm. They want what you got. They want what I've got. They want it so much, they're willing to take it, even take your life to get it. And I guess it's going to continue, possibly even get worse. I'm glad I'm not living in Chicago. I'm glad I don't live in Portland, well, they don't want no law and order, but honestly, in this country, which was raised up with laws and orders, they're wanting to eliminate law and order in America, and without law and order, there'll be no law and order. My mom, my dad, they made me walk the line. I'll be 68 in February. They're both graduated this life. Yeah, I'm a young chicken, Sharon. But I love them more for making me walk the line than anything they've done for me. Now, at the time, I didn't understand it. At the time, I didn't like it. But they got it out. Miranda, she does a good job keeping them boys in line. I salute her, amen. But she don't leave it to chance, choice. She said, I said, do it. I like that. Authority ought to be in the home. And authority needs to be in our country. And I think there's an absence of it in the home, in our country. But then what happened 20 years ago yesterday, someone let the guard down. I truly believe that could have been prevented. It may have even been intentional. I mean, this is a day of uncertainty in some things. There was a lot of wealth, a lot of money in those twin tires. Wonder where it went. We're talking gold. Bricks of gold in there. Fortunes were in there. You know that condo that collapsed down in Florida recently? A lot of wealth in there. I didn't know this. I found this out after the fact. There were a lot of predominant Jews living in that condo. They were making fortunes there in Florida. I don't know. God knows. But I don't know. But I do believe that twin tire thing could have been prevented. I almost think it might have even been intentional. I don't know. We're just kind of smoke-screened a little bit. But we're going to read verses 24 of Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is addressing His disciples. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Amen. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We'll stop that verse right there. I've really cut this message way back. But we want to pray today on preaching today on denying yourself. Pray with us, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the day You've given us to gather in Your house. Lord, we're just impressed, Lord, by how many people are here today. Oh, Lord, we're just thankful, Lord, to have so many before us right now. We're thankful, Father, to have so many watching by way of the internet. And we know, Lord, a lot of them aren't here today because of sickness. We know, Lord, a lot of them aren't here today because, Lord, they had to work. Lord, Brother Danny had to work today. And for other reasons, Lord, people that would be here today could not be here today. But we thank You, Father, for these that are here today. Yeah. And I thank You for this beautiful day You've given us, Lord, to gather in Your house. And Lord, we don't want to meet for naught. We pray You'd meet with us. Lord, I pray, dear Father God, today for anointed liberty to deliver this message, Lord, as You've given it to me. Give me clarity of thought and speech. And I pray, God, Lord, You'd help, Lord, Your Word, dear Father, today, Lord, to register in our heart. May it take, I pray, Lord, the preeminence of other thoughts. May we give the most earnest heed to Thy Word today. And Lord, we pray, Father God, today that You would help us, Lord, in the days coming. I see a little bit, Lord, about what's coming, but I certainly can't see it all. But I do believe it's a time to stay in the house of God. I do believe it's a time to stay close to God. I do believe this is a perilous time we're living in, Father. And I pray, God, Lord, for Your protection. Pray, God, Lord, for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, I called Brother Ed last week, mentioned to him about working on the church, and he kind of led me along there. I appreciate him doing that because I feel pretty good about what God done me not getting in the way, amen. But he kind of played me a little bit like secondhand fiddle there. I said, well, if you're up to it, I'll come by and pick you up one day next week. We'll go over and hit a lick. And he said, yeah, I'll be all right. And I got here this morning and seen the great work that they've done since last Sunday, and I just salute everybody that had any part in it. I think it was a good job, a good decision. And I'm impressed.
Yes.
And I'm thankful. Amen. Y'all read a bigger church.
Yes.
And I wish the preacher was a little bigger, because the church is growing. And I hope to grow with it. Amen. Just a little preacher. God counted me faithful. Put me in the ministry. And we're doing our best to be what God called us to be. A God called preacher. Amen.
That's right.
But we're preaching today on denying yourself. The best example I know of in the Bible is where Jesus mentioned, "Not my will, but thine be done," in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 42. It would be good if we could do like Jesus did, where God could have complete preeminence in our thoughts and in our lives and in our deeds. But we've got the ability to reason, to think outside the box, unless you live in the basement like most of them do there on Facebook or whatever that is, on the internet there. I don't think they ever go outside. They're like the last president, not the last president, but the present president that never... Well, the reason I said the last president, he was running for president and he never even got out of the basement, never even made any appearance. I think it was in the bag before anybody ever voted. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, some people would do them good just to get outside and see what all's going on. Amen. But Jesus, he completely surrendered to the will of his Father when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now, since we're preaching about denying yourself, if you'll notice up there in verse 21 through 23, Peter completely failed to deny himself. Jesus, verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. The key word in that must. He must go. He must die.
Right.
And Peter, as the Lord is upbraiding his disciples and telling them this, verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." You know, Peter's will was getting in the way of the will of God. That can happen in your life and mine.
Right.
Sometimes, instead of walking in the will of God, I'm walking contrary to the will of God. Sometimes I'm out of the will of God instead of in the will of God. Then I have to pray and seek God about everything that I can somewhat stay in the will of God. But as Peter, and he reminds me a lot of us, spoke out, he'd been better off not to have said anything. But as he took the Lord and began to rebuke him and speak, he kind of put his foot in his mouth. He said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee."
Yeah.
Verse 23, but he, talking about Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for that thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You see, Jesus came down here to do the work of God.
Amen.
And Peter, like us, thinking temporal thoughts, not eternal, he thought it was pretty good, just like it was. He didn't want to change nothing, but he didn't understand the whole picture.
Right.
And even us today, we don't really understand the whole picture.
Right.
Bible says we see in part and we know in part. And even the part we see and the part we know, we don't do a good job with it.
Right.
So we need the Lord in our lives to lead. The psalmist said in Psalms 23, "Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake." It's not in a man to direct his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I need God's help, Miranda, just to stay and the will of God.
Yeah.
The Bible said, if any man think he stands, take heed lest he falls. And we do more falling than we do standing. But just like Peter, sometimes we make an assumption that's not the will of God. And of course, you know, I kind of like the way things are. I like to leave them alone, but things have to change. I've got to change. Man, I'm getting old. And my hair getting, I guess it's white by now. Donnie, he's catching up with me. He's still a few steps back. But anyway, we're all getting older. Things have to change. But the Word of God, it does not change. And the will of God does not change for me. I've got to change for it. But Peter failed, not understanding the will of God, not understanding the work of God that his son was here to do, and that rebuke the Lord gave him.
Yeah.
Now, last Sunday, the Saturday before that Sunday, we were holding signs on the bypass, on the rental or the Rogers bypass, 31E, whatever. But I'm holding signs up there, and I'd already purposed in my heart, Brother Ed, that I was going to hold them 2 hours instead of an hour. I have to admit, buddy, my fingers got to churn a horsing, and this old frail body got to getting a little weak. And I looked at my watch more than Joe Biden did when they was bringing them bodies off that airplane back from Afghanistan. I mean, them last 5 minutes, buddy, I about wilted, I'm telling you. But I did hold them for 2 hours, but it about killed me. Amen. But you see, that's kind of what I'm talking about. We make up our mind to do something, and I was talking myself out of it. I'm sitting there thinking, I've done been here long and I need to be here, and it was taking its toll on me.
Yeah.
But I was trying, Brother Ed, to deny myself.
Yeah,
I was doing this for the Lord's sake. And I'm holding up there, blessed is the man, you know, that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, but standeth in the way of sinners or something like that. I had two signs.
Yeah.
Blessed is the man, you know, that knows the Word of God. I was trying to deny myself. And let me say this about denying oneself. As a pastor, let me say this. Denying oneself will show up a lot in your church attendance.
Yeah.
I'm just like you. The bed feels great. The flesh wants to stay in bed. This morning I got up a little late, but I got up, amen. But this old flesh, it wants to be pampered, and sometimes I cater to my flesh.
Right.
Now, when I say cater to my flesh, there was times in my life that going to church was kind of optional. Like, you know, I might go and I might not. But anytime it's optional, I want you to know the Bible tells us not to give no place to the devil.
Right.
Anytime I do give place to the devil, next thing I know, he's got the whole place.
Right.
But denying oneself shows up a lot in our church attendance. I remember hearing about a woman one time. My pastor mentioned this. And they gave her the nickname of Faithful, because she never missed a service. And she kind of liked it herself. She had earned it. And you know, it kind of got the best of her. And one Sunday it came a big snow. I mean a big snow. And unbelievably a bunch of people showed up, Sybil, just to see if she'd show up. And we're talking about knee-deep snow. And there's all out there, all gathered out there, saying, "This will be the day." She won't make it. And it heard something, Sister Joanne. And it was her husband's tractor. And here she pulled up her tractor and shut that thing down, said, "Over heaven, church today, amen." But you see that determination that she had, that no matter what, she was going to be there,
right,
showed up in her, right, church attendance. And we need to have some of that ourselves.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but there's always going to be a war. Right. Sunday morning war. Bessie, Brother Mitchell's sister, she's been telling me for quite some time now that she's coming, and she's sincere. I know she's sincere. She just don't consider the fact there's a devil down here.
Right.
That old devil, I'll tell you right now, Oh my, is he ever able to defeat your purpose in your heart? He's able to overthrow it and get you to raise a white flag. But denying oneself shows up a lot in our church attendance. And that lady, she drew a big crowd that day. And I'm sure they was all in disbelief. All the doubters showed up. And that big tractor pulled in that parking lot. And she got off that thing and said, "Are we having church today or what?" But denying oneself will also show up in our tithing. And let me say this about tithing. It's not how much you give that matters to God. It's why you give that matters to Him.
Nice.
Jesus noticed a woman, Brother Ed, she put in two mites, and the rich were up there, and they was kind of getting attention as they was pouring theirs in. And you know, listening to all the money hit the thing there, you know, and they was looking around, see all was noticing. She walked up, and for all of you that don't know what two mites look like, I gave pretty good money for this. But here's what two mites look like if I can get that money at this. It's just two little specks. That's two mites. I bought them in Boulder. I think I give about $50 for them. I didn't want them for nothing else. Just to be able to show somebody what two mites look like. I think they're made out of bronze or something like that. But about the size of your little fingernail. Two little specks in there. She dropped them in, and Jesus noticed that she put them in.
Amen.
And He made quite a big deal about it. You know, He said they put in of their abundance, but she put in all that she had. That was all she had. It's like she put $1 million in there. It wasn't like she had a lot to give, but what she has, she gave. Amen. Luke 21, and you know I am going to read that. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to. I'll tell you why I want to read it. Because it's just three verses. But it says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites." That's a far than actually worth 1.4 cents, I believe it's right. And he said, "Of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow have cast in more than they all, for all of these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her own penury, her own will, have cast in all the living that she had." She gave everything she had. Amen. But denying oneself, you remember Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't deny their self. Amen. They wanted to be noticed as given, but they didn't want to do it from their heart. In honesty and sincerity, and God struck them both dead. Amen. But my dad, he was quite a poker player. And sometimes he'd go all in. He'd just take it, just shove it all in. He thought he had a good enough hand, he'd shove it all in. Well, she went all in concerning giving her tithes. And she denied herself in that act, but the Lord didn't deny her. He not only saw her, but He gave honor and glory to her. And that taking up the cross, that's kind of also denying oneself. Mm-hmm. Taking up the cross will cost you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll cost you reputation.
Yep.
I got called fanatic, which I don't mind. And everybody, they called me a few other names too. But I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. And, you know, working in the factory, I kind of wished I could work somewhere else, but working in the factory, I thought I'd let my light shine. And I was in there one day, and a foreman come in. I was washing my hands there in the bathroom, Brother Eric. The foreman walks in, and he says, "What do you know?" And I said, "I know I'm saved." He said, "You can't know you're saved." I said, "I don't know about you, but I know I'm saved." And you know, I'm sure that it was uncomfortable, but I'm sure that that registered with him.
Yeah.
That there was something different about him than there was of me. He was one of them, "I hope I'm saved." You know, "I hope I am." Trying to dear to him.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting him down. Now, he's a personal friend. He's my foreman. But when he asked me, it was one of them kind of moments like, you know, you can deny yourself or you can, you know, play the game everybody does, you know, not much or something like that. But I said, I know I'm saved. That put me in an uncomfortable position. It'll cost you your reputation, your comfort, your time, your friends. The Bible mentions about the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. So think about this for a minute. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, and I am saved, praise God.
Amen.
To us which are saved, it's the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm glad I'm saved, first of all. But taking up that cross, you'll be preaching the cross whether you say anything or not. My neighbor lives next to me. He tells me he's saved, and I don't dispute that. But he sees me every Sunday leaving out, go to church, and I don't ever see him leaving out to go anywhere. But, you know, he tells me he's saved, so like I said, I ain't got no axe to grind here. But preaching the cross is just nothing less than just doing what we know we need to do. Do it to the glory of God. Somebody see me reading my Bible? What you reading? I said, I'm reading the Bible. Right one, two. I got caught praying. My daughter walked in on me one time praying. That didn't bother me a bit. She walked out and then she come back in, knelt down beside me, went to weeping. I just pulled up her next to me and kept on praying. My granddaughter walked in on me two or three times praying. My son walked in. My wife walks in, acts like I ain't doing nothing, just don't even pay no attention. But I don't mind getting caught praying. I don't mind getting caught reading my Bible. I don't mind somebody seeing me going to church. I'm taking up the cross. And to do that, I want you to know, it pleases God. The Bible said it pleased God by the preaching of the cross. Paul said, I determined to know none other thing among you save Jesus Christ, Him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. You know, Paul threw it all away for the cross. Here he was, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the stock of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrew. Law blaming. He threw it all that away for the cross. And the cross was what Paul, he said, I determined nothing other than Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Jesus was crucified on the cross. Paul never got away from that. Those uncomfortable things, they accompany the cross. I done something this week I've never done before in my life. We had Michelle Williams' funeral at Bethel Baptist Church Wednesday.
Yes.
And my pastor said a lot of things about Michelle that I didn't know. Things that only a pastor would know. And as he summed it all up, he made this statement. He said, I considered making her assistant pastor here. And I don't think he was really kidding. I didn't realize how faithful she was. I didn't realize how great a worker she was and all she done. But when he gave all of that information at her funeral, at churches, he mentioned this also. He said, Michelle always wanted to see the church filled. And he said, I'm going to say this. God granted her wish. I don't know how all them people got in there myself. It took forever to get out of that church after the funeral. But when it finally got my time to come up to the coffin, first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to shake Brother Rick's hand. He'd done a really good job in that funeral. But I back there, different than everybody else. I'm pretty proud of my sister. I had no idea the things that she had accomplished in her short life. And maybe a lot of people are like her. They don't try to make a name for herself. You heard that song that Rita played for Carolyn about no other name. She kind of hid her life behind the cross. And I didn't know the things that he disclosed that day. I found out kind of after the fact. But I wanted to bestow honor upon my sister. What I've done, I've never done before in my entire life. And it was I'll tell you right now, I had to crucify this old flesh. It wasn't an easy thing. But when I went up there and I shook Brother Ricky's hand, when I stood before that casket, I saluted my sister, not for a little while neither. I mean for a long time, I saluted her. And I took my hand down, I went over, and I hugged her husband's neck, and her mother, and her father, and her sons. But that was a very emotional thing. I'd never done that before. And it was a self-denying, crucifying type thing. I didn't know how that was going to go. I didn't know what anybody was going to say or anybody's going to. Still don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I was bound determined. I was going to bestow honor on my sister. Never done that before in my life.
Amen.
I don't think anybody ever seen that before. I don't know. It got kind of quiet in there. But I wanted to put honor upon my sister. I wished I'd have known all of that. I didn't know it. But those uncomfortable things, they accompany the cross. You'll do a lot of things that won't be comfortable. You'll do a lot of things that people won't understand. I'm sure nobody understood that. But it was one of them things that I battled. And at the very last minute, I complied.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did. I don't have any regret at all. But I wanted to give honor to my sister. And not only denying yourself, not only taking up your cross in denial, but are you following Jesus? Jesus said, He said, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Are you following Jesus?
Amen.
And if you are, how close are you following?
Yeah.
Donnie's got a license plate or a magnetic sign on the back of his truck. I had one, but I gave it to a black lady up in the upper part of Kentucky, up next to Ohio River. She said, I like your sign on the back of your truck. And here's what it says. Are you following Jesus this close? It's just really kind of a joke, you know. My daughter that passed away last year, she said they ought to make a sign. Are you following Jesus this close? And it clicked with me, and I went and had something made, Sybil. And that lady up there, her name Miss Banks, she said, I like your sign. And she's got a Volkswagen. And I just took it off my truck, and I put it on her car. I said, it's yours now. And she loved that. But Donnie, he's got one on the back of his truck. Are you following Jesus this close? You know, no one can answer that. Except us.
That's right.
Now we want everybody to think we're following real close.
That's right.
We want to have the reputation of following real close. But when nobody's around, that's when we realize just
Amen.
How far away we are.
That's right.
From following Him. The Bible mentioned about Peter followed afar off in Luke 22:54. And he was following, but he was following afar off. In Luke 22:54. And most Christians today, like Peter, are following afar off. And Jesus, He mentioned that in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 8, when He said, people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. They're just doing lip service. One thing I like to be more than anything is I like to be real. You know, this church doesn't have to be all that big. But I'll tell you what, it'll be as big as any church if it's just real.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey, when you got a song in your heart and you're fighting back the tears, Brother Eddie, can I sing this song? You better believe it.
That's right.
Hey, when you got a testimony, Brother Eddie, can I give a testimony? Hey, I'll tell you right now, if it's real, I'm all for it.
Right.
If the song is one of them that's just burning, you just got to say, I'm all for it. I'm all for anything that's real, amen.
Amen.
I like that last Sunday. I saw a lot of real, amen.
Yeah.
And I want to keep it real. But I don't want to just do lip service. I want to praise the Lord, but I want it to be real. The old song says, He merits my soul's best songs. The old song says, Jesus is all the world to me. But how close in reality are we truly following Him? in prayer and studying and singing and shouting, I do want to follow Him. You know, He set the example, and it was a perfect example. I can't set an example like He did. But none of His works could be spoke against. None of the things He did could they find any fault in. Pilate examined Him one and the other and said, I find no fault in Him. And you know, that couldn't be said about me. But about Him, He followed the Word of God to the T. He never jaywalked or sidestepped or anything like that. Would to God we could do that. I will say this about this little church. I've been in a lot of churches. Some of them made me sick. And I mean, there were people speaking in tongues, jumping over pews, falling out on the floor. And God was a million miles from that place.
Wow.
The reason I say that is I'm real.
Yeah.
I can tell when something's of God.
Right.
And would to God we could have more real. And I went to another church. My dad, he hadn't been saved very long. And he asked me to go to a revival with him. And I went. And I was the only person in that church that had a Bible. When I walked in the door, I just assumed everybody had one. When I walked in that door, you thought I had an AK-47. And I looked at me like,
he's got a Bible. He's got a Bible.
The preacher didn't even have a Bible. And I'm sitting there thinking, is this a church? But nobody had a Bible. I want to be real. And I want Him to be real in me.
Amen.
We got enough fake down here. We got fake news galore.
Yes.
You got fake preachers in our Sunday school lesson this morning. I read some scripture there of Matthew chapter 24 talking about false prophets, false teachers, false preachers, false everything. I like real. And listen, if it's real, it'll show up. You won't have to make it known. It'll show up. Amen. But if you can deny yourself, if you can take up your cross, and if you can follow Jesus, sell out, and you'll enjoy your walk with God. The Bible talks about you can't serve two masters. You can't walk together except you be in agreement. You can't serve two loves. You know, I kind of like the way the Lord made our relationship. I really do. We're the bride, and He's the spouse. We've been a spouse to Him. I like that. I'm glad God put it in those terms. I really am. And all you women, I know you want your husband to be faithful. That's one thing that ought to be, that ought just be normal. I mean, that really shouldn't be an issue. But there's nothing worse than finding out you've been betrayed. And He is the most faithful. And all He asked us to do was love Him like He loves us. You can't serve two loves. You can't be married to one woman, have an affair with another woman, and all of a sudden they clash and you find yourself in over your head in problems. But He's faithful. The Bible said if we deny Him, He remains faithful. He can't deny Himself. He put that relationship like a marriage ought to be, faithful, forsake all others for each other. Every marriage ought to be like that. Unfortunately, most marriages now don't even last 3 months. One reason they don't last no more than 3 months, and I'll be blunt, brutally blunt here. If you want to find a good husband, start in the house of God.
Amen.
If you want to find a good wife, start in the house of God. Somebody that knows a little bit about what they're supposed to be and about what's included or what a marriage ought to be. Most women will find the worst husband that there is to find and marry him. I have never figured that out. My daughter done it twice. Only reason I ain't got no problem, I got two precious granddaughters.
Yeah.
That's it. She's done gone. She wouldn't mind me saying this. She could have done better. So choose carefully. Me and my wife, this year we'll be married 46 years. I agree, it ain't been no picnic, but praise God, we tough it out. We stay together. A lot of rocky road. It's my fault. She shouldn't have never married me. I'll tell her that. She knows it. She knows that. She'd done better. She'd married somebody the opposite of me. I was the devil incarnate. Everything but a husband. Everything but a wife. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Lord is the best husband the bride has ever had.
Amen.
He's faithful in all of his house.
Amen. That's right.
Miranda, you want Mark to love you supremely, don't you?
Of course.
He loves his bride supremely. He brags on her even when she don't deserve it.
Right.
We're part of the bride. I'm glad that the Lord put it in that concept. The husband and the bride. He's the faithful husband, and the bride's everything but faithful. But he won't give up. He stays faithful. He loves her. Gives his all for her.
Yeah.
And you know what? We need to sell out. That way we can walk. We can enjoy our walk with God. Paul stated that Demas has forsaken me. Why? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he even told why he left. Having loved this present world. This present world is going to take a toll on you. I can't hold it. I can't keep it. I'm in it, but I'm not of it.
Right.
If I was trying to carry the water, Miss Babstry, back there to put it in the kitchen sink, I'd spill it all the way back through there. That's kind of like the way this world is. We're in it, but we're not of it. We can't keep it. But Demas got caught up in it and left the ministry and went back into the world. And he ain't alone. There's a lot of Demases today.
Yeah.
Bible mentioned about a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. James chapter 1 verse 8. What do y'all think about America with a message like this? God raised America up. And He blessed America. This is where everybody wants to be.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm here, Carol. I'm glad I'm here. God put me here. I love America. But every now and then they show somebody and they're burning a flag. They show somebody and they're burning a police precinct, turning cop cars over. Oh, they're mad. They're going to have their way. They're going to show somebody a thing or two.
Yeah.
In a country like this, Brother Ed. Blessed. Blessed.
That's right.
Oh, how blessed we are.
Yes.
But America has been unfaithful to God.
Yeah.
Pretty close to preaching a message. It's probably going to be a while off because I only had the thought this morning about not giving place to the devil. And I'm going to title this message on exceptions. It don't sound that bad, does it, Eric? Now, if I'd come in here in a tutu this morning, you'd have thought, Brother Eddie, was you thinking when you got dressed this morning? And I said, what's wrong? Well, I've never seen you in a tutu before. You see what I mean? The little exceptions are the little foxes that spoil the vines. We got churches today that are marrying people they shouldn't be marrying.
Right.
Turning their head for things they shouldn't be turning. I ain't going to get into that message. But listen, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And I do want to love, live for Him. Love Him supremely. Somebody said if the Lord died for you, surely you can live for Him. And that is a pretty good analogy. But denying ourselves. Back years ago, they had sawdust floors.
That's right.
You know what, Sue? They packed the building. And they was throwing them bonnets up, shouting, having the best time. And now, I have to admit, I'm standing on the air conditioner bit right now. But you know, we've got a whole lot of way from where we started, from where we need to be.
Yeah.
And I just want us to be real. In order to be real, I got to deny myself. Mm-hmm. I've got to let God have the preeminence in my life
and
not be conformed to this world. but be rather transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I might prove that good and perfect will of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message today. Lord, your disciples, Lord, they walked with you. They watched you. And every one of them, Lord, failed miserably, Lord, to understand how important it was, the time they spent with you. They only missed you after you was gone. And Lord, we're not much better than them. Help us to make the best, Lord, of the time you've given us, the hour we're living in. Lord, I pray this little church trim its wick. I pray, dear Father, Lord, we'd be renowned in the community out here, Lord, that we could have the highest accommodations, Father, for what we've got, Lord. I pray you'll bless. And Lord, in all this, we thank you and praise you, ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm going to get out of the way, get Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon, maybe a verse of an invitational hymn.
Brother Ed.
Yeah.
You come in here to tutu, I want you to know I ain't going to turn either one of these cameras on.
Please don't. Please don't. Amen. I not only want to look the part, I want to be what I look like. Amen. I want to be real. Amen. Hallelujah. If y'all see one of them, y'all go ahead and shoot me. Put me out of my misery. Amen. Something bad wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Make sure it's me.
Number 203 in the blue book.